Second hour, Darren, Donick, and Chase here on this Monday morning. Hope everybody's having a good start to your week. Darren McFarland, Willie Donick, Chase McCabe with you. Elijah Campbell manning the board. Now it's time to talk with TD, Teron Davenport, NFL Nation reporter for ESPN and ESPN.com covering the Titans. Talking with TD is his podcast. You can hear him on all the live shows throughout the course of the week, including ours, Mondays at this time. And Teron is presented by FreedomTireGuys.com and Crane Works and Rental Works. TD, this was an easy prediction. Everybody could see it coming. The Titans were going to absolutely dominate the Chiefs. The Chiefs were not going to get anything going on offense. And like I said, it was such an easy prediction. And the good news is it played out.
Yeah, it was just like we drew up. You know, we definitely all imagined the Chiefs. All imagined Derrick Henry having more touchdown passes than Patrick Mahomes. And
that was a good one.
Just like right along schedule, exactly how we predicted it would go, man.
It is amazing. I've said it all morning that, man, if you'd have told us beforehand, if you told me beforehand, we've got the ability to bet in this state. Man, if I was geared up with all that information on how it would play out, I would be sitting here shirtless today because I'd have lost a whole lot of money knowing that Derrick Henry was going to rush for 86 yards and not score any touchdowns. Like you said, they'll throw a touchdown. You know, and just to know that they just were going to harass Mahomes all day, and the Chiefs just look like a very average team. And I know they've got the skins on the wall, but let's just start with the play of the defense. Man, huge props to them. Thought they were outstanding. They were able to get off the field on third down. Like I said, they were all over Mahomes the entire game until he was knocked out of the game.
Yeah, and I'll tell you this. It seems like the Titans have found something. And I remember in practice, a specific Thursday, watching them doing individual pieces, and the outside linebackers and the D-line came together, and they were working on something, and that something that they were working on is what got a ton of pressures. They had 18 pressures this past game. They only had to blitz one time. So what does that tell you? That front four was doing what they had to do, and it's a different look than what you've seen from this Titans front, whereas you have DeNico Autry on one side, Bud Dupree on the opposite side, and then in the middle you have Jeffrey Simmons and Harold Landry. And they do a lot of stunts and twists and things, and they were getting home that way. I mean, that group produced four sacks. I asked Dupree about that after the game, and he said, you know, the thing that's so tough to defend about that is because it's so unpredictable. You never know where they're going to line up, what they're going to do, because you got four guys that can line up on the inside or outside. And before, you know, when the quarterback breaks the huddle, he's coming to the line, and these guys are standing up, and you don't know where they're going to be. So that really played a big part in the game. But we're going to go to each phase of the defense, right? So we talked about the front four. Let me tell you something. That second level of the defense, David Long is an absolute treat to watch play football. Every single week, I just look and I'm just like, yo, man, this dude is the real deal. And he's such a natural at linebacker. I love the way he flows and weaves his way to the football, oftentimes finding himself the first one at the ball carrier, and you saw it. And even in pass coverage, he's outstanding. Look at the interception that he generated for Rashad Evans when he had outstanding coverage and punched it out. And then let's talk about the secondary, right? We didn't mention Greg Maven's name at all that whole game. That's a good thing. But then you also look at Dane Cruikshank going up against Travis Kelce. That was an outstanding performance. Just he took it to Kelce. You know, we always talk about, hey, you got to challenge. Well, guess what? At the line of scrimmage, there wasn't a free release. Cruikshank was all in Kelce's chops, and I thought he did an outstanding job. And then Kevin Byard, I've stood on the table multiple times and said he's the best safety in football. I'm back on that table now. You know, I'm back on the table. I think he is the best safety in football. You saw him, you know, generate the forced fumble there, punching out of Mahomes' hands, and then also just the coverage. The sure defense on the back end. I think this defense had the best outing that I've seen them have in the last 2 years, at least.
Do you think maybe, just maybe, this is Bud Dupree turning the corner? and turning into the guy that they signed for big bucks in the offseason? Do you think he's kind of past the knee stuff? I don't want to say past it, but do you feel like he's getting comfortable enough where we're going to start talking about him more and more every week?
Yes, absolutely. And it for me, it started 2 weeks ago watching him pregame against Buffalo, whereas I saw him doing some things that I didn't see him do pregame, and he wasn't limping, and he had bounce to him. And if you go back to one particular pass rush, you look at that rush where he got the sack, he had an outside release. He kind of ran the arc, and he was able to bend and get to Mahomes. That tells me when you could you know, release a field like that and bend the way that he did, it tells me that knee is almost there, you know. So I think you are correct. It is at a point where he's starting to get to be the Dupree that this Titans team signed. And I think it's good because, you know, you have a lot of these morons saying that it was a bad pick and questioning the Titans for signing a player that was injured. But, I mean, they know what they got in Dupree, and you couldn't allow a pass rusher. Like, another offseason couldn't go without getting an impactful pass rusher. And you see how it's helping this team already.
I've called Dylan Radunz and Darrington Evans ghost on this show, and I thought it was appropriate. We are in the month of October. Halloween is just around the corner. But we got a chance to see the ghosts. They were out there on Sunday. Do you think this is an opportunity, speaking of, you know, just keep building off, stacking up weeks, getting more playing time, kind of maybe turning a corner? Do you think there's a chance now that Evans and Radunz can be weekly contributors? Or is it too soon?
Yeah, both of those – they're going to have to stay ready. I'll say that. But I'm not so sure that Evans is going to pass McNichols on the pecking order for touches. So that's something that you still have to see continue out. But, I mean, you have the kick return option that he brings too. So I would imagine, you know, let's say it this way. To your point about Evans being a ghost, getting him suited up on game day and taking part in the game, that's accomplishment one. So
right.
I think it's baby steps there. For Dylan Radunz, you know, for him being active and staying ready so he doesn't have to get ready, right? Because, you know, at some point, Roger Saffold, just the way this has been working out, at some point he's going to miss a couple snaps. So Radunz better be ready to go in there. And he was today, Sunday. And then you look at Nate Davis, you know, the same type of situation as far as being ready to hop in. And I think that's a good thing for Radunz. And you're starting to see the rookie actually come in and contribute. And that's a positive for the Titans.
Teron Davenport is with us. We're recapping a great win for the Titans yesterday, 27-3 over the Chiefs. Teron, one thing that we saw, I now see the rhythm that this offense had last year when it was at its best with that play action, the crossing pattern to A.J. Brown, that bread and butter combination. That is such a good feeling if you're following the Titans, because everything else that they do, and you saw a lot of other things yesterday, works off of those two things, it looks like.
Yeah, well, I'll say this. You know, Derrick Henry told me that his favorite athlete ever is Kobe Bryant. But the impact that I'm seeing Henry have, it kind of reminds me of LeBron James, right? Where, you know, Kobe, every time he had an impact, it was 30 points. You knew that he had an impact. Whereas LeBron James, like, there's times where he'll have 20 points, 15 assists, 8 rebounds, and I think that's what you're seeing with Derrick Henry, whereas, okay, he had 86 yards rushing. By Derrick Henry standards, that's not exactly a good game. But you have to look at the impact beyond the stat sheet. And when you see that play action and how that's humming, when you see those linebackers and just the whole front, like, they devoted that front to try to stop Derrick Henry. They made it their business to try not to allow Henry to go off. And, okay, he didn't. But other players did, because when you go to that play action, those linebackers step up, and that just opens up a bigger window for Ryan Tannehill to hit A.J. Brown. And what else are you starting to see over the last couple of weeks? More yards after the catch. Why? Because there's more space to operate. Why is there more space to operate? Because of selling out to stop Derrick Henry. So this is another type of feather in Henry's cap, just as far as the MVP conversation. So I think you start there. But then you look at Todd Downing, right? And now we're at a point now where he's kind of in his bag, right? He's designing. He has some plays designed that are really outstanding. You know, there was an 18-yard gain by Julio Jones on a crossing route. And you had A.J. Brown on the other side running a whip route one of those ones where you kind of run a in-breaking route and then break back towards the sideline. And that took the safety out, and right over top you had Julio Jones catching the pass. That's superior play design. So I think overall everything is starting to fall into place. You're seeing layered play calls, right? Play action coming on times where you should run the football. This is a really good game to watch just to see where this Titans team is.
I do think Todd Downing slowly but surely is finding his rhythm there. One of the things we talked to you about, Teron, last week, too, was the deep shot. We were talking about Tannehill and why the numbers were down. They hit the deep shot in the first half. Great catch by A.J. Brown. Great challenge by Mike Vrabel, and knowing the rule was important there. Gene Serator illustrated it well on the telecast, because sometimes when you see the ball fly out like that in the end zone, we know that's trouble. But in that situation, it was a clear-cut catch. But I like the fact that they hit one, and I'd like to see, you know, maybe some other guys get involved with that, because I think that's maybe the last level. You tell me if you agree, Teron, if you can keep that defense honest, because it still is a little bit of station to station, and you're relying on run after catch to get your big chunks. But if they can just plant that seed that they could hit you deep, then you've got everything.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the last line of improvement for this offense, is to show that they're a vertical threat. I mean, how many times last year did you have that play action deep shot to Khalif Raymond? I would like to think that the guys that they have now, you know, Julio Jones, is a better option going vertically, you know. So that's something that they definitely could do. And it goes back to that Derrick Henry effect, right? Because when you get single covers on the outside without that safety help over top, because that safety is dropping down in the box to defend the run, hey, listen, as a receiver, as A.J. Brown, as Julio Jones, get your hand out of my pocket. That's essentially how you take it. So those are shots that they absolutely have to take. And I thought it was really good that they did that, Ryan Tannehill going deep to A.J. Brown. And I'll say this, entering that game, they only had three passes, completions of 40 yards or more. So definitely an area where they do have to get that going. And that's just another way to stretch the field a little bit more. Now teams that have to think twice, okay, if we stack the box, they're going to go deep on us and we're going to give up a chunk play. Okay, well, if we, you know, focus on stopping that chunk play through the passing game, you got a Martian in the backfield that is going to get you a chunk play in the running game. So it becomes pick your poison.
So, Teron, we saw Julio Jones make contributions yesterday. Unfortunately, the one pick play took away another, you know, good gain that would have made his numbers look even better. But I'm just curious, too. The goal is to have him at his best as you move forward during the season. They seem to be trying to do their best to not push it. If, you know, at his best, he's a 10. On a scale of 1 to 10, how do you think he's feeling right now overall? Is it a 6? Is it a 7? It's clearly not a 10 to me.
Right. Yeah, I would probably say 6 or 7. I asked him on Friday about the hamstring and whether or not it's something that he thinks about as far as, like, you know, Will, you're an athlete. You know that there are times where you may have an injury and you're like, okay, well, I got to – let me be careful. You know what I mean? And that's something that with a hamstring, just having to start and stop and do some of those things, it is something that I know you think about. He said he didn't think about that, but that's definitely something where, like, you know, you're running a go route and you feel that thing start to tighten up a little bit, you're going to throttle down naturally. So I think those are some of the things that may be impacting him now. And it's good that they're managing him the way they are, because, look, man, you got Julio Jones to be able to win shootouts in the playoffs. So that's more or less where you're going to really see his contribution.
Talking to Teron Davenport, Titans NFL Nation reporter for ESPN, and you mentioned him a little bit, but if I feel like this is when we start to see A.J. Brown, you know, the giant kind of wake up. And you saw that against Buffalo on Monday night with 91 yards all coming in the second half, and then yesterday's performance of 133 yards. When you watch him, and I know you watch every position, but especially the receiver position closely, what are you seeing that he does that is just helping his game evolve now that he's in year 3? And the league is obviously seeing what he's capable of doing.
He's more comfortable catching the football. Like, he's back to just snapping it out of the air like he was, you know, as a rookie and last year. So I think that's a big thing for him. And then, again, this play action, I mean, it's opening up a whole lot of space for him to operate. And so that's a good thing. But, you know, more importantly, he's working towards actually getting his legs under him, right? And he said it week 10 in his book is probably when he feels like he'll be able to play a full 100% of snaps. He played 39 snaps, which was 60% of the snaps yesterday. So really, you know, what you're seeing is just a guy continue to get into better conditioning and get stronger. And obviously the food poisoning, that was a bit of a hang-up for him, but he's working his way through that. He's starting to be able to eat again, you know, hold fluids and those type of things. So it's just a work in progress for him, and it's just exciting. I mean, Chase, you know how I feel about A.J. Brown. You know, yeah. I love watching that guy play. So it's exciting over the last couple of weeks to see him catch 15 out of 18 targets, 224 yards, and a touchdown.
We've seen, when you look at a third wide receiver, is how I'm going to word this. We've seen flashes of Westbrook Akina. We've seen flashes of Marcus Johnson. We've seen some flashes now of Josh Reynolds. Do you think that they can continue to do it that way if you have AJ playing at a high level, if you're getting some contributions from Julio, or do they need one of those guys to basically go up and grab that brass ring to become the true third wide receiver and at sometimes the second wide receiver on this team?
And there's nothing wrong with having options. Nothing wrong whatsoever. And it reminds me, and I've said this before, it reminds me of that 2017 Eagles team where you had Alshon Jeffrey, Torrey Smith, Nelson Aguilar, Zach Ertz, right? And it was just pretty much, okay, you want to focus on these guys today, this guy's going to get off. You want to focus on those guys, that guy's going to get off. And I think that's kind of what the Titans are working towards. And the thing that's really good about this all is you have the ultimate distributor, you know, throwing the football in Ryan Tannehill. And, you know, I've talked to him about that from time to time, just about being able to not force the ball, like lining up and saying, hey, listen, I don't have to go to A.J. Brown no matter what in this play. I don't have to force the ball to Julio Jones just because he has cornerback X on him. I'm going to go to the open man. And that's the approach that Tannehill has. So it makes it easy to have that consistency across the board. Now, granted, there are some times where, you know, it's crunch time, you need to play. Hey, 11, I'm coming to you. I don't care what's going on, I'm coming to you. That's going to happen sometimes. But for the most part, you want to just go to the open guy, and that's what Tannehill's doing. And that's why you're starting to see this offense start to click a little bit over the last two or three games.
Amani Hooker was unable to go yesterday. We know he's been fighting injury, but I thought that Dane Cruikshank played a very solid game. We're seeing him, you know, when he has to be in those spot start roles and not more of a depth role. Sometimes it's been good, and I thought yesterday was good as he continues to grow.
Yeah, and here's another guy, Chase, that I've talked a lot about. Now, granted, he had a rough stretch, right? Seattle and I believe it was Indianapolis. You know, there were some things – or no, Seattle was a good game. I think it was Indianapolis and Jacksonville, I want to say, where, you know, he had some hiccups there. But, you know, for the most part, you're seeing him actually, you know, take advantage of the situation. Monty Hooker goes down, and yesterday, I tell you, that defense he played against Kelsey, I mean, go back and watch it. You know, that dude was – Cruikshank was – he filled in admirably. You know, and I think that's a good thing, just writing the next man up kind of thinking that this team has. And it's good to have that depth at safety, you know, especially when you have Hooker, who's kind of up and down this year as far as injuries are concerned.
Well, TD, it was certainly a big one. The next two, in my opinion, can help really tell us a story on the road in Indianapolis and then on the road at the L.A. Rams, some big ones coming up. But appreciate it as always. We'll see what Mike Vrabel has to say later today and talk to you next week.
Yeah, for sure. I look forward to it.
Teron Davenport, Titans NFL Nation reporter from ESPN, joins us every Monday at 11. You can catch Talking with TD, which drops on Wednesdays as well. And then he's on the Power Hour on Stillman & Company on Thursdays at 3 o'clock. And then the morning show at 8, and he's presented by FreedomTireGuys.com and CraneWorks and RentalWorks. FreedomTireGuys.com, Nashville's premier mobile tire company, online at FreedomTireGuys.com. Craneworks and Rental Works, your source for crane and equipment rental. Visit Craneworks.com. We will have much more on the Titans' win against the Chiefs yesterday. If you want to weigh in, you can call or text 615-737-1025. It's Darren, Donick, and Chase, ESPN, 1025 The Game.